Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up for conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, once again, it's so nice having you join us as we gather together, visiting around God's Word, the Bible, on Bible Talk. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. Now, if you've missed any segment of this series or would like to listen again or invite someone else to listen, you can do all of that. Just go to firstloveradio.org, O-R-G, and scroll down to the Bible Talk picture, tap on it, and it'll take you to all of our programs. Again, that's at firstloveradio.org. And now, of course, we're here with Pastor Joe. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. What a blessing it is to be able to study the Word of God. We can never get enough from it.
Yes, yes, indeed. Now, we're exploring the Gospel of John chapter 3, so let's continue where we left off. Pastor Joe?
The term born again closely mirrors Jesus' words in John 3:3, where he told Nicodemus that he must be born again, or in some translations, born from above. Nicodemus responded the way anyone would. He asked, how can someone be born when they are old? In verse 4. Like I indicated earlier, Jesus' answer was even more puzzling to Nicodemus. And then Jesus added, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So this term born of the Spirit is synonymous with the term born again. Why did Jesus begin talking about the wind in relation to being born again? Well, the Greek word for wind is pneuma, like when you get the word pneumonia, you know, in your lungs. The same word is used for spirit. When wind blows, we can't see it. Can you see the wind, Bobby?
No, but Rich? You can see where it is.
That's right. We can't see it, but we know it's there by the effect it has on the trees. How do we know the wind is blowing the trees? Because the tree leaves move and the plants bend and we feel the wind touch our faces. Yet no one can catch the wind or restrain it. When wind blows, it changes everything it touches. It has a mind of its own. And so it is with the Spirit of God when someone gets saved. You cannot see the Spirit of God enter a person's mind or body or heart. But you know he is there by the effects the Holy Spirit has in that person's life in terms of the spiritual birth. The spiritual birth of a person is an act of the Holy Spirit, who is sovereign in deciding whom he will save. Yet, if a person trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be saved. The Holy Spirit is invisible, yet wherever he moves, there are definite changes. Neither persuasive words nor intellectual agreements have the power to make someone born of God. Only the Holy Spirit can perform that transformational change in a repentant heart. So how does one become born again or born of God? Well, Jesus used an earthly metaphor to explain a spiritual idea. When a baby is born, a new life emerges that did not previously exist, right?
Yes.
The baby is a brand new being who begins to grow to look like the parents. So it is with those born of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Later on in John 3, Jesus explains how to become born of God. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When we are born into the family of God, we grow to look more like our Father, our spiritual Father. 1 John 3:9 describes a person who has been born of God. No one who is born of God will continue in sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning forever because they have been born of God. God our Father is holy, and he desires that his children become holy like he is holy. As he says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So when a person is born again, born of God, to sum up, we receive a new heart, one that wants to please God. We begin acting and behaving like our Heavenly Father. We take on the family characteristic. This does not come about by good intentions or great human effort. We please our new Father by surrendering to His Holy Spirit who lives within us. We allow Him to change our desires, our goals, and our will to conform to His. As a baby grows to look like the parents to whom it was born, so do we grow to be more like our Heavenly Father when we are born of God.
Yes. You know, after Jesus explained all this to Nicodemus, he still was perplexed, and Jesus replied in verses 10 through 12 of John 3, are you the teacher of Israel, and do you not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, Pastor Joe, isn't this the problem that people have who don't believe or understand how to be reconciled to God in His good graces, so to speak, that they haven't had their eyes open to the spiritual things of God? They haven't truly connected with Him through the Holy Spirit as to who He is and what He wants from us.
Yes, and the scripture that comes to mind, Rich, to describe the indispensable need of the Holy Spirit to create the miracle of revelation and regeneration in a sinner is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I mean, the whole chapter is dripping with information that clearly teaches we absolutely need the Holy Spirit to open up our understanding so that we can comprehend what the scripture means. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And verse 14 says, but the natural man, the unsaved man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That means, Rich, before you became a Christian, Bobby, before you became a Christian, and before I became a Christian, we are called natural man. That is a natural human being. We are in our unsaved condition where we have no heart nor understanding for the Word of God. We cannot understand the spiritual truths of the Bible. They're foolishness to us. We cannot know them or comprehend them. Why? Because we are without spiritual discernment and insight and understanding. God has to give a unique capacity of comprehension called spiritual understanding. Our spiritual eyes are enlightened to kind of read through the lines, so to speak, in the Bible to get what the Spirit is saying to our minds and hearts. And unsaved people, when they hear the gospel, the message of salvation through Christ, that word goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't make sense to them. They're babes in their understanding of Scripture. They don't even have the most basic knowledge of the Bible. Many of the words they cannot even understand. And they cannot relate to those words. They have no experience to compare to when they hear the gospel message of salvation. It's very strange and foreign to them when they hear this. They have no experience or understanding to compare to in their lives when they hear the gospel message. So all of this stuff about Jesus in the Bible, when they hear it, it's just foolishness. It's just nonsense to them. They don't care about it. They don't want it. They don't understand it. And they don't have a heart for it anyway. They just want to go on their merry way. This is what the Bible teaches, that the natural man, the unsaved, non-Christian person, lives in this world of total alienation from understanding the Bible. And that's why Nicodemus couldn't understand it. When Jesus said to him, you must be born again, Nicodemus basically went, huh? Nicodemus needed Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to make his blind eyes see. As Jesus himself said in John 6:63, in response to why the Pharisees that he had just been talking to throughout most of John chapter 6, and they responded, "How this is a hard saying that you're giving. This is hard to understand." And Jesus tells them in John 6:63 the reason why they can't understand. He says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So these Pharisees, these Jewish leaders, as religious as they are, as much Bible knowledge that they may have in their mental, their intellectual understanding, they're in the flesh. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit of God who gives you understanding to comprehend the truth, who gives you life to be able to respond to that truth with obedience and faith and a changed life. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. In other words, when Jesus speaks the word of God, and when you and I speak the word of God, if the Spirit of God anoints that word as it goes forth from us, the Spirit and life are joined to that word, and it enters the person hearing it through their ears, their comprehension, their understanding, their heart, and their spirit, and life is infused into them. Life raises them from the spiritual death, and the Holy Spirit comes in to wash and cleanse and purify their hearts and to make them this new person and to open their eyes and just totally and completely blow them away so that they're opened up now to a life and to a world and a lifestyle that they never knew before. This is all done because the Holy Spirit provided life and power and understanding and has raised them from the dead. In John 16, Jesus also said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Watch, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Whenever the Spirit of God comes, he will impart information to the hearers, to the listeners, that will glorify Christ. Those people will become born again by faith in Jesus, and they will love Jesus and they will glorify Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can impart such knowledge to a sinner. Otherwise, they can hear the gospel message of salvation 1,000 times, and it will bounce off of them. They will never respond. Perhaps like you and me, Bobby, hearing the gospel many times before we got saved, but it never, ever, ever made an impact, never made sense, never was life-changing until the Spirit of God applied the Word of God to my mind and heart and made it powerful, meaningful, life-changing, and nourishing.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure, when you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
And just like you're talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees who didn't have this, they didn't understand what the scriptures were saying. Isn't this the problem that many pastors and theologians and Bible teachers and Bible students have today or any time in not really being able to see or understand that true meaning of the scriptures because they're focused on head knowledge of the scriptures, just being able to recite them and not on their relationship with God and how to reconcile with him?
Well, yes, there's so many pastors and theologians, Bible teachers, Bible students, and those and others who get a little bit of understanding of the Bible on an intellectual level. And there's a euphoria that is the response. And they want to go out and they want to run out and share through teaching what they've learned in their heads. And they get excited about it, and then they seek after leadership positions in the church. But unfortunately, their knowledge is limited to their head, and they're not qualified to be church leaders or pastors because there's another qualification that is just as important, even perhaps more important, than mere head knowledge of the scriptures. There is a great competition between head knowledge and heart knowledge, and there always has been. There's always been this war waged inside of every Christian. Is head knowledge enough to keep us happy and to keep us content and to keep us propped up in our profession of faith as Christians? And the answer is no. And a key scripture that comes to mind is 2 Timothy 3, 1 and verse 7, where we read, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Verse 7, "always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And there's a list of about 8 or 9 different signs of the times that will occur during these perilous days just before Jesus comes again. And one of them that I'm honing in on is this idea of always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that seems contradictory. How could you always be learning but not come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, it only makes sense when he's comparing or contrasting two different types of knowledge. The first knowledge is head knowledge, always learning head knowledge, but never able to come to the second knowledge, which is heart knowledge. So they're always learning head knowledge in the end times. There'll be this huge, massive group of people, both church members, both unchurched people who think they are Christians, who have a profession of faith, including church leaders. And I am very, very horrified and afraid of what I see, that more and more church leaders are not converted. They're not truly born again. It's because they've come into the head knowledge part, the intellectual comprehension of the scriptures, like the Pharisees did, but they never, ever came into the heart knowledge of the Lord. And believe me, there's a huge difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. There's going to be a ton of people in hell who have head knowledge but don't have heart knowledge. Jesus will say to them, as he said in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, have we not preached in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name?' And Jesus will say, 'I never knew you.'" And among those three groups, there are those who preached in the name of Christ. Well, many of those are preachers, and to preach, you have to have a certain base of knowledge of the Bible. And so on Judgment Day, there's going to be preachers who have a knowledge of the Bible, have preached perhaps many sermons, they've shared the gospel, but they themselves don't have the heart knowledge. Their hearts are cold and dead. They have a heart of stone. They need the Lord to give them a heart of flesh. You see, at the new birth, when we become born again, not only is knowledge imparted that stimulates the mind and the spiritual mind of a person, but also the heart. The heart is raised from the dead. And all of these affections, love, compassion, kindness, goodness, mercy, grace, flood into the heart. A lot of these are for God. We love God. We praise and thank God, but also we love our fellow man. And there's a marriage that has taken place between the head knowledge of the Bible and the heart knowledge of Christian experience. And this was the big problem with the Pharisees. They had their entire religion confined to their intellect and their tradition, but they had nothing in their hearts for God. Isn't that sad? That you can live your whole life within the four walls of a church and be an expert at churchianity and the traditions of the church, but have no love for God, no worship for God in the spirit, no thanksgiving for God. You just go through the motions. And Jesus called them out on it. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees on these things. For example, in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, he says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their what? Their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So they had the head knowledge and they had the tradition, but their heart was far from God. And Jesus told the Pharisees a very, very horrifying statement he shared with them in John 5:38 through 40. He says, "But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." So they had the scriptures, they had a deep knowledge of the scriptures, the Pharisees did, and they glorified in the scriptures. They were the caretakers of the scriptures. They preached and taught the scriptures, but they didn't know that in all their knowledge and teaching of the scriptures, the very theme and purpose of the scriptures is to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. That is the end of the road. That is the end of the destination. That is the purpose of the scriptures, is to bring us to Christ, to experience salvation in Christ, by faith in Christ, through the grace of Christ.
Yes, you know, one verse that comes to mind as you're saying these things is that verse that says about them following the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. Would you say that that applies here, that they're looking at the letter, the technical meaning of the words, but not the spirit of it, as you say, the heart of it?
Yeah, the flesh will always focus on anything that is done ritualistically, physically, and traditionally in religion. The Bible says, John 3:18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And then in John chapter 1, it says that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so the Pharisees that you refer to, when the light shined in on them, all they had was darkness inside, and they could not comprehend what Jesus was teaching. They couldn't relate to it. They had no measure or standard to compare it to, because their hearts were dead in sin and trespasses.
Yeah, it's interesting how they're referred to as whitewashed sepulchers, meaning, you know, you look good on the outside, but inside you're dead.
Exactly. That's a perfect metaphor. What's inside of a tomb? Death.
Mm-hmm.
What's outside of a tomb? You know, when you go to a cemetery, it's one of the most beautiful places to visit on the outside. Angels carved with white and different beautiful statues. But when you look inside of those tombs, it's all death. He used that to describe what the Pharisees were like, as you said, Rich.
So, Pastor Joe, all of these things that you've been talking about are so important. They're eternally important. They're the most important thing in the world that we have to understand. And what it comes down to me, from what I hear from you, is the difference between knowing in your head who Jesus is and your relationship with him and with God and being able to have a changed spirit and a changed heart. So this could still be very confusing to those who are listening, saying, how do I do that? How do I get to the essence of it? What does God want from me, and how do I get there?
Well, I would encourage our listeners to not be happy or content or satisfied with the outward show and form of religion, the organizational aspect of religion. The words may sound fantastic. The words may be very holy and sacred. The environment in which you worship may evoke thoughts of God and religion, stained glass windows, images of Jesus hanging on them, wooden pews. Everything around you and on the outside seems so holy and so pure. But the Bible says God looks at the heart, not at the outward appearance, however religious that outward appearance may be. And so God penetrates beneath the surface of our outward religion, and he looks at our hearts, he looks at our consciences, he looks at the quality of our spirit, the spiritual state that we're in. He tests our hearts, and he has the solution and the remedy for all of our problems. But if a person is insistent on playing religion and living a life of being a churchgoer or religious on the outside, and being content with that, and then living for themselves any other way they want to live every other day of the week, they're going to die and go to hell. And it's just that simple. I don't want it to be that way. But if our listeners who are not saved, who are not Christians, and I trust there are some who are not, if they will say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've never had one crumb or ounce of peace in my life by going to church and by doing all these things, however good they may be, if I am a Christian. I need to have my heart changed. I need to be changed from the inside out. So if you would turn away from the outward performance of religion and by faith believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he ascended to heaven, he sits at the Father's right hand, and he's alive right now listening to the prayers and the cries of all sincere seekers and those who repent, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You will be saved. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Unless our spirits are reborn with life from God's Spirit, we simply don't have the capability to fellowship with God and to know him. We must be born of the Spirit. And so lastly, there are only two types of people in the world, Rich and Bobby. Those who are born of the Spirit and those who are not. In the end, only those two categories matter. Our earthly lives are extended opportunities. Each day God gives us is an extended opportunity for us to respond to God's call, to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repent of sin, and become born of the Spirit, born again, and born of God.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.
In the air, everywhere, God's love on First Love Radio.